Today's sermon is coming from the second book of Timothy. Let me give you a little bit of history about the second book of Timothy. Timothy, if you were here on Wednesday night, we talked a little bit about Timothy was Paul's spiritual son of the faith. It's not so much that the Apostle Paul led him to Christ, but the Apostle Paul taught him how to be a disciple and taught him how to make disciples. And 2 Timothy is often thought of as Paul's last letter that he wrote before he was executed. Tradition tells us that he was beheaded in Rome. We don't have anything written down about that, but that's what tradition tells us about. And this is the letter that he wrote to Timothy, who most likely was the pastor at Ephesus Baptist Church. No, not Ephesus Baptist Church, at the church at Ephesus, okay? Baptists are only 400 years old, okay? And we're going to talk a little bit about Baptists this morning as I start out the sermon. But these are the words that Paul writes to him. So if you have your Bible with you, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 14, and I'm going to read down through chapter 4, verse 5. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped in every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. So I began my ministry over 25 years ago now. It was a book of both 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy that were very informative for me. Because Paul is telling a young pastor how to be a pastor and what they need to do that. But I want to ask you to think past just that context. Because I think these words are useful not just for pastors, but for all people who are Christians. And that we need to look at the challenges that are here that Paul presents, and we need to look at our lives and reflect upon our lives. Are we living this way? Are we living this way? One of the things that I'm well aware of, and I'll just tell you the truth, Deanne and I happen to be Baptist. Not because either one of us grew up Baptist. Both of us grew up nothing when it comes to the religious faith. Our families did not go to church as we were growing up. So we happened to become Baptist because they had a preschool. And we thought that we were going to put, what was our eldest son at that time, we thought we were going to put him in preschool. So let's go to a church that has a preschool. we never put him in preschool. I want to let you know that. But we happened to go there, and we found people, and we were invited into a family that we came very close with. And some of the elder people in that church were actually friends of my grandparents, because it was a neighborhood church where my not far from where both sets of my grandparents lived. So that was comfortable too, in that we found those folks. But I also think it was by God's design that we became Baptists. And one of the things that as I have studied about Baptists, and as I have come to understand about Baptists, is that Baptists originally were known as people of the book. Okay? They were originally known as people of the book, the scriptures. Baptist history is only just over 400 years old. Baptists do not go back to John the Baptist in Jesus' time. Okay? He was called John the Baptizer because he baptized. But the Baptist denomination didn't start until England about 400 years ago. And many of those who started out the Baptist tradition ended up being in jail for doing that. One of the things that they thought was important was the Holy Scriptures. It was not so much tradition and ritual that got passed down through the ages that they wanted to emphasize on. They wanted to emphasize on the Bible. And one of the key beliefs was they believed that every person had to make a conscious decision for themselves to be baptized. And that baptism should be done by immersion. I believe that baptism should be done by immersion when possible. Okay? I baptized one gentleman who was not able to get into the baptismal pool. He was not able to be bent over that way because he said it would affect his heart so much he would probably die on the spot. And I said, well, let's not baptize you that way then. And I talked to the deacons in the church, and he came forward in his scooter, and we baptized him by putting water on his head right there in the front of the church. And I think that is completely valid. It's about the heart for me with baptism. Okay, it's not that you have to be immersed to be saved, because your salvation happens before that point in time. Okay, it happens when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. If I were to meet with somebody and talk with somebody and they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and for some reason we don't get an opportunity to baptize them, they're still going to heaven. They are still going to heaven. That's what I believe. The baptism is a symbolic event of something that happens in a heart already. But Baptists were keenly known as people of the book. And what they said was, if it's not in the book, we're not going to do it. If it's not part of what Scripture tells us to do, we're not going to do it. So this was at a time when Bibles were first printed. Bibles were not first printed for people to have until the late 1500s. The access for you to have a Bible at home did not exist. And a matter of fact, churches that did have Bibles, they were chained to the pulpit, because it was so hard to get a copy of the Bible, they wanted to make sure the Bible didn't disappear. Not to keep the pastor close to the pulpit, okay? But it was chained to the pulpit. Now, my understanding is the Bullion Library in the UK, they still have one of those Bibles that has a chain on it. I'm hoping to have an opportunity to see that someday. But there was also those that were in the Church of England who did not believe that everyday people should have the Bible. because they didn't want people to have the Bible that were not educated enough to understand it and bring about wrong interpretations and wrong understandings. I want you to have a copy of the Bible. As pastor, I want you to bring a copy of the Bible to church when you come to church. I want you to turn to the page and I want you to read it as I'm reading along. I know oftentimes we have different translations. Sometimes people don't have Bibles. That's why we have it up on the screen. That's why they're in the pew racks now. I want you to reference it. I want you to look at it. I want you to see what's there. One of the reasons I want that is because when you can see it and you can hear it, it's getting into your body in two different senses. And if you've got to open it up and turn to it and find it in your Bible, there's another sense that's being added. And the more senses we use, the better we can remember what's in Scripture. The Bible that I use sitting on my desk, the one that I use for principles of faith in Sunday mornings, sometimes I know where passages of Scripture are because I know where they are on the location on the page. This is on the right-hand page, and it's towards the top. Because I've used those Bibles for so many years. I bring this to you because I have found in my ministry that Baptist people don't tend to be people of the book anymore. They don't tend to have a copy that they carry with them. They don't tend to have one accessible that they use. I have one on my phone, so everywhere I go, I have my Bible with me. And prior to being able to have a smartphone that I could have the Bible on, I often always carried a New Testament with me in my back pocket. And I have two of those at home that I have kept from my early years as a Christian. One of them, I'm sorry to say, is in very, very sorry shape from carrying it around in my back pocket all over the place. The second one that I got, I was able to get somebody to laminate it for me, and it has lasted a little bit better, but it still is not in the best of shape. When we have such incredible access to the Bible nowadays, why are we not using it? Why are we not having it at our fingertips? Why are we not referencing it? You see, Paul says here in this passage that Scripture is the Word of God. It's the Word that God has given as a resource for salvation, spiritual growth, and fulfillment. It is a resource that God has given to us so that we can know salvation. And when people don't know the Word of God, they don't know that they can have salvation. They're not aware of that. There are churches and denominations that don't often refer to the Bible. They don't bring the Word of God to the people. I find that my role here on Sunday mornings and my role in teaching is to bring you what Scripture says and to show you what it says and how we should be using it. One, so you can find salvation in Jesus Christ. The book of Romans says, how will they know unless somebody preaches? How will they know unless somebody tells them? Just having the doors of the church open in this day and age is not going to get it. Somebody's got to tell them. Somebody has to invite them. Somebody has to reach out to them. Nowadays, the chances of somebody just showing up is really slim in most churches. It's really slim. Because there's so many other things to do on a Sunday. When many of you grew up, there was only one thing to do on a Sunday. One thing. And that was go to church. Amen. There was nothing else open. That was the one thing. There was no kids' sports events on a Sunday. If you were going to do anything on a Sunday, you went to church or you stayed home. That was the two things you had to do on a Sunday. When I grew up, stores in Virginia were not open on Sunday for purchasing anything, except on a very, very limited basis. But most stores were not open. Folks, we need to get back to the Bible. And we need to help people understand the Bible so that they can have salvation. We need to help them understand the Bible so they can have spiritual growth. Spiritual growth does not just happen. Well, I'm going to go sit in church and I'm going to grow spiritually. That doesn't just happen. If something like that could happen, then you could go home and sit in your garage and become a car. Right? Or shall I say a box? Depending upon what's in your garage. Just sitting somewhere is not going to make you something. You've got to put some effort into it. You've got to do something about it. Just coming and sitting in church is not going to make you a Christian that's growing spiritually. Now, the hope is that it will, because you'll hear something that you'll apply to your life and that will make a difference and that you will change. Whoops, bad word. Sorry. I know church people don't like change. I've known that my whole ministry. But being a Christian is all about changing. That's all it's about. It's about changing. It's not about staying the same. It's not about living the same lifestyle before Christ. It's about changing to become more like Christ. Also, the scriptures bring us great fulfillment. I can't tell you the number of times I've sat down with scripture and have just felt my heart warmed and overwhelmed by what God says. God says, I love you. And the scriptures tell me time and time again that I cannot change that fact. No matter how ugly I might be, no matter how disrespectful I might be to folks, no matter how much I might walk down the wrong sinful path, Scripture tells me God still loves me. Amen? No matter how ugly I am to the telemarketer on the phone during dinner time, God still loves me. No matter how ugly I am to the cashier that doesn't check me out fast. Let me change that. They don't have cashiers in stores anymore, do they? Some of them. Nowadays, if you get mad at the cashier, you're getting mad at yourself. Folks, God's love will never change for you. God's love was solved 2,000 years ago on the cross, when God said, I love you. Scripture tells me that over and over again. And some days I need to be reminded of that because I don't feel like God should love me. Because I haven't done what I'm supposed to do. I haven't been the person I was supposed to be. I mean, look at what it says in verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. Those four things cover every area of your life. Scripture teaches you how to live the right way. When you get off the path and you're not living the right way, Scripture tells you that you've done that. It rebukes you. Scripture corrects you and helps you find your way back to the path again. And Scripture continues to train you time and time again on how to live the right path and how to keep forward. I would not know, at this point in my life, I would not know what to do without having the time to read my scriptures every day. Every day. I wouldn't know what to do. I would be missing out. I've heard people tell me, Pastor, I love to go to church on Sunday because it just recharges me for the week. I need that recharging every day, not once a week. An hour once a week doesn't charge me. I need it every day. And sometimes I need it multiple times a day. Sometimes I'm in the midst of the scriptures over and over again. That's one of the reasons I love my job, is because I get to study scripture. I get to dig deep into it. Because they're words of life. They're words that are still alive. Because they have been breathed out of the mouth of God. So to me, Christians should know the word in detail so that they can be equipped for every good work God has planned. We should know the scriptures in detail. Verse 16, I just read it for you again. The scriptures are God-breathed and they're useful in all areas of our lives. Verse 17 says that we have these words of scripture so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Have you ever felt like you couldn't do what you needed to do? Especially in relation to what God's asking you to do? Have you ever felt like, I couldn't do that? I don't have the strength to do that. I don't have the ability to do that. I don't have the know-how to do that. What does it say? If we will spend our times in Scripture, the good works that God asks us to be part of, we will be prepared. So if I ask you to do something in the church and you look at me and say, Pastor, I don't know that I can do that. The next question I might ask you is, have you been reading your scriptures? Because the scriptures say that if we're reading them, and they're in them, and we're working with them, then what can happen? We can do the good works that God asks us to do. And I'm convinced of one other thing, that there are some good works that God has prepared just for you. And if you don't do them, God did not prepare them for anybody else. This morning we talked about the setup of the tabernacle, that tent that they carried around for 40 years in the wilderness and even longer after that. And I posed the question, what if one guy decided he didn't want to carry his pole to put up the tent anymore? What if the two guys that carried the altar of incense decided, we just moved this thing yesterday, we're not moving it again today? Do you realize that's what's happening in our churches? People are deciding they're not going to participate in the good works anymore that God's asking them to do. And our churches are just shrinking. And Paul goes on to talk about that. Why is that? It's because this world hops from one teaching to another as suits their fancy for the moment. They hop from one place to another. I'm not going to say anything political here, but these are the examples that are in my head. People hop from Dr. Oz to Oprah. Whoever's got the best thing at that moment that makes them feel good about living life, that's who I'm going to follow. Guys, Scripture. Scripture. Instead of hopping from one thing to another every chance you get, Scripture. I have people come to me, Pastor, what's a current good Christian book that I can buy that will help me in the spiritual life? No, I haven't looked at him and said, here's a Bible yet. But maybe I should, don't you think? Because any current self-help book that even deals with Scripture is somebody's idea about Scripture. Why not cut out the middleman and just go to Scripture? Instead of reading what somebody else says about Scripture, why not spend the time in the Scriptures? Instead of hopping from one teaching to another. Or, can I be so bold as to say this, Jerry? You think I could say it? Okay. I have Jerry's permission, so if you don't like what I'm getting ready to say, talk to Jerry about it. Or hopping from one church to another because the previous church you were at wasn't serving your emotional needs. Or it wasn't entertaining you enough. Or they weren't fitting the bill for you. So I'm going to move to this other church over here. Maybe it's not fitting the bill for you because you're not in your Scriptures. That's why all of my teaching and all of my preaching is centered on what the Scriptures say. I don't bring to you from current people that just had the bestseller. I bring to you from what the Scriptures say. What God breathed years ago. And what a good Baptist from the very beginning of Baptist centered on the Scriptures that God breathed that are useful for every area of our lives so that we can fill in the work that needs to be done that God's asking us to do. If I center on the Scriptures, I know this, I'll probably never be popular. Because people in our day and age want to have their ears tickled. And I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm here to tell you what the Word of God says. I'm here to tell you what God says, not what Tim says, not what ideas I've come up with, but what the Scripture says. Now, if you don't like what I bring to you, you can decide you don't like me. I don't care. Because I'm bringing to you what God says. It's not me that you're disliking at that point, really. You're disliking what God says. I just told you what God said. Folks, the Scriptures. Now, here's an important thing as we learn the Scriptures. In a world wanting to fill their desires, we need to be ready to gently share a word from God. We need to be ready to gently share. When I meet somebody who's walking the wrong way and following what they believe to be the truth, but it's really a lie, I am not going to beat them about the head and shoulders with the Bible. I'm not going to debate with them either. I'm not going down either one of those roads. I'm going to share with them very gently, this is what God spoke in the Scriptures. And I'm going to let God work in their hearts. I'm not going to try to convince them before I walk away. And you know why? Because I learned that doesn't work. That creates animosity and problems. That creates people that are mistreated by the church and they don't want to ever go back to a church again. I talk as gently as I can. And sometimes I only ask questions. Well, tell me what you believe about God. Well, you know, Scripture says this. When somebody says, I don't think God can forgive me for what I've done. Well, let me share with you that Scripture says God will forgive you. Let me share with you from Scripture that God will love you, does love you, will always love you. Let me share with you from Scripture what Scripture says, what God actually said. Not me, what God said. Folks, we need to get in the Word. We need to get in it in such a way that we know it backwards, forwards, upside down. That we know where to turn to help somebody with a word when they're anxious. That we know where to turn when somebody wonders, will God ever love me? We need to know where to turn when somebody says, I don't think God can forgive me. Do you? Do you know where those scriptures are? Do you know how to gently share a word with somebody else about what God says? Do you know where those words are? Do you know how to use them? Folks, I'm not asking for us to get rid of tradition and ritual. Some of those things are very, very important and help and build our relationship with God in dynamic ways. But what I am asking you is to know your Bible inside and out and to actually know what it means. One of the saddest things I've ever seen in ministry is to see people that have been in the church for decades and don't know how to find things in their Bible. That is one of the saddest things I see. They've been in the church and they've been part of church and they've done a dynamic part of church. They've been a leader in church. But if you ask them where something is in the Bible, the first thing they do is, well, we need to ask the pastor. If we're going to revive this church, if we're going to grow this church, we need to know our Bibles. And we need to know them well. That's why I do Principles of Faith on Sunday morning. That's why I teach on Wednesday nights. That's why I don't just come in here and give you a nice talk about, a pep talk about being emotionally good out in the world. I bring it from the Scriptures. What do the Scriptures say? Listen, I'm going to finish with this. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy, and it's words that I think all of us need to practice. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. I know. If I ask you to preach next week, you're going to tell me you can't do it. But you know what else I know? There's going to be an opportunity this week for each one of you that God's going to ask you to share a word of Scripture with somebody. First off, will you know what the Scripture is you need to share? And secondly, will you do it? Are you known as one who can bring a word of hope from the Word of God? Are you known as one who can bring a word of hope from the Word of God? This world needs that. They don't need another preschool program. They don't need another. This world needs people that can bring a word of hope from the Word of God. So I just ask, will you be able to do it? Let's pray. Lord, this is a difficult thing. And it's a thing that oftentimes many Christians don't feel comfortable doing. But the truth is, Lord, you've only given us one book to live by. And so many Christians in this world don't use that one book. They're looking for something somewhere else, making us not any different than the rest of this world. When the truth is, we've got the book already, and we just need to spend some time knowing it, living in it, living through it, allowing it to live through us, so that this world can know your word. Not the word of great thinkers, not the word of great dreamers, but your word. So Lord, help us that we might make time, that we might take time before we do anything else to eat the spiritual food that you have already provided for us in your word, so that then we'll be prepared to share that word when we meet someone who needs to hear the same. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.